So, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon or good early evening to all of you. We're about to close this last day, and I'm happy that so many of you are still here for this, well, special event, so to say, session organized by and for the European Climate Research Alliance, ECRA. This panel discussion, as it will lead into, is dealing with societal challenges related to climate change impacts on the hydrological cycle, risk analysis, vulnerability, and adaptation. This is what we would like to discuss among a very distinguished list of speakers, and also, of course, with your interventions whenever you have any questions. So before stepping into the program, I'd just like to give you some screenplay instructions of how we wanted to organize this session. It's triggered basically by the ideas that we have developed in the past decades, quite some very high sophisticated methods and techniques to look into climate change based on physically based models, use this information to feed deterministic models to provide some sort of impact assessment. And still we realize that there's quite, at times at least, a quite large gap between the capabilities of the climate science and the impact science, and then bringing this information to the policymakers and the people that are dealing with the adaptation to climate change and also the mitigation to climate change. We're also aware that there's quite a large spread of uncertainties that are still related and connected to any type of climate science when you start looking into projections into the mid or far future. Sometimes it puzzles me that there's an expectation that a climate model is accurate, expected to be accurate when it looks 100 years into the future, and people need to respect. There's huge uncertainties involved, but it's also sometimes a still very tricky component to get this uncertainty involved in a decision-making process. And this whole session, this afternoon, evening, is meant to shed some light on these activities, and I think we have a very nice program and a very high level of expertise on this panel. So we're going to have, after an introduction by the chairman of ECRA, there's going to be two keynote speeches provided by Chantal Gasquiel and Eric Martin. And then there's going to be a panel discussion. This panel discussion will last maybe 45 minutes, maybe 50 minutes, depending also on your activity and your willingness to participate. And then, if you read the program thoroughly, there's also a reception that is sponsored by ECRA afterwards, and it is in the City Hall, in the Salle des Mariages, I think. Well, we'll see what will happen. But you are invited to join us at this event. I'm sure it's going to be a nice ending occasion for this first day of this wonderful conference here. Okay, so let's now start with this ECRA session. And I would like to introduce Peter Bresicke, who is the chairperson of ECRA, and he's going to give an introduction to this bottom-up institution. Peter works on the interactions of atmospheric composition and climate change, and climate change, ultimately, where he engages strongly in model development and also in model applications, of course. He's been very active quite a long time at the University of Cambridge before he moved to the KIT, that's the Karlsruhe Institute of Technology, where he's a professor at the Institute of Meteorology and Climate Research at the Division of Atmospheric Trace Gases and does research there, and of course also teaches a couple of courses. I think theoretical meteorology and climatology are among them. He's the chair of the European Climate Research Alliance since last year, 2017, and we couldn't have any better person to introduce you all to ECRA. I'm very happy that you were able to make it to today. So Peter, please, the floor is yours.
Yes, good afternoon or early good evening. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you very much for your kind introduction, Ralph. So Ralph and colleagues sort of organized and masterminded the event, I would say, from the ECRA perspective. And also I would like to thank Isabel for basically organizing this wonderful conference and obviously this event in addition. And so I was asked to briefly introduce to you the European Climate Research Alliance, and I thought basically I do this with a couple of slides and I don't want to take too long. And so obviously you all know that we are here to talk about climate change and water, and in particular about the societal challenges related to climate change, or basically water under climate change. And that's, I think, a theme that obviously Ralph just mentioned as well. We basically, as a physical climate modeler myself, we obviously produce model projections, we basically produce better models, but in the end, ultimately, we have to make sure that what we can model can also be applied. And I think there, those conferences are a very important interface to make sure that we understand in terms of climate change can actually put to good use in society. So what is actually the European Climate Research Alliance? So the idea was to have an association of leading European research institutions in the field of climate research that would sort of bottom-up gauge ideas, discuss science, and try to sort of bring it sort of up to a level where you could actually do some kind of lobbying for particular themes, maybe stronger in your own national research environment or on the European stage. And basically, when it was founded in 2011, it was sort of seen as a bottom-up initiative, and it focused on a couple of themes that were then obviously very high on the agenda and still are. The good thing is ECRA has a flexibility to change with time, so, and I would also invite you to engage with us basically what kind of changes you would like to see to such an organization in the future. So here's a little picture from when ECRA was sort of invented, perceived. It is from 2011, and you can see there Karin Lochte, who was the founding chair of the European Climate Research Alliance, and until last year when I was elected as her predecessor. And sort of what you can see here is sort of a Nobel laureate grinning friendly and kindly along with some politicians. And you certainly can judge from that mood on that day that it was perceived to be something important that was started there to basically bring together research performing organizations. At that time, I was still in the UK, as Ralph mentioned, and I was actually invited for the National Centre for Atmospheric Science. Unfortunately, I could only arrive the day after, so I basically participated in the first board meeting, but I'm not on this picture here. So what sort of is the added value of something like ECRA? So the idea was to really have sort of a bottom-up approach to develop research strategies that are based on scientists' views and feelings on what should happen, and basically wanted to gather those scientists from different institutions across Europe and to provide them with a platform for joint research planning and activities. And so one thing we always have, and should it be called common or aligned strategy, is that obviously we all have different national strategies, but it's always quite important to look beyond the national strategy and see how we can align strategies, not make them one, but how can we presumably synchronize certain things? How can we exchange information along the way in terms of science and funding opportunities? How can we exchange personnel? And basically, how can we optimize our existing infrastructures for data, for observations, etc., to basically get best use out of it? So currently, that's sort of the ECRA member map, and I don't want to dwell on it. The idea is that we have, from each country that want to participate, we have a main partner that actually is sort of the member per se, and we have participants that basically can just join because they're interested in the work. And at the moment, we have 9 partners and 14 participants that are spread about around 10 countries in Europe. And sort of we have 4 key guiding tasks. One is obviously to develop so-called collaborative programs. So basically, the science organization within the European Climate Research Alliance is via collaborative programs, and they developed sort of this aligned strategies, they develop white papers, and they host workshops on themes that are of interest to the scientists. Then there's common work on training, education, and outreach activities, in particular the outreach activities, which go hand in hand with sort of ecrocyte events like this one here, but also with an annual, biennial conference. So we also provide advice to policymakers and the public. And in the end, obviously, ultimately, we want to develop links to other climate initiatives and also develop partnership with the industry. So with other climate initiatives, I also mean, for example, JPI Climate, the Joint Programme Initiative Climate. That sort of is the other way around organized by sort of bringing together not the research performing organizations, but the research grant giving organizations from different European countries. And I've just attended one of their meetings on Thursday and Friday. So JPI Climate and ECRA are observers of each other, which is actually very good. So what is the current scientific structure? At the moment, ECRA has four collaborative programs. One is on Arctic climate stability and change, one is on high impact events and climate change, one's on sea level and climate change, and one's on changes in the hydrological cycle. And why we are here today, so the idea was sort of that was sort of started a couple of years ago, that sort of high impact events and changes in the hydrological cycle obviously have a very strong overlap, and that part of this overlap could be utilized to bring things closer together. And out from that, we had sort of already a couple of small workshops, and today this discussion forum. So this is just sort of telling you that there's a lot of ongoing work in terms of the collaborative programs with workshops, etc. But the interesting bit is the last bullet point, that for the ECRA General Assembly, which we now have as a biannual meeting to engage with policymakers in Brussels, we basically had a very successful event in 2017, and we are now looking forward to 2019 and have just started the planning, and the likely theme is along those lines of predictability. So if you're interested, stay tuned and hopefully come along in 2019 to Brussels. So the 2017 event, I think, was very apt given this discussion today. We talked about climate change in vulnerable regions, and I think on that note, that there is a lot of interest that in the organization of collaborative programs, we really would like to engage with wide communities and basically foster our public outreach. I would like to close and thank you for your attention.
So thank you very much, Peter, for the introduction. Is there any urgent question that you would like to ask? Yes, Jean?
Yes, so thanks. Do you have some relationship with Climate Kick of EIT? Because it's the same, well, when you look at the relationship with industry and so on, they are the same, so.
We had encounters, but I think they could become closer and better, okay. Yes. No, I agree.
I have another question also, but I will. Now, why there is no French organization in ECRA?
That is a very good question, and we had a wonderful member. So CNRS was a member under its old director, but when unfortunately he died, the membership was not.
CNRS is still alive.
I know, but the director changed, and the new director decided that. Yes, but we are really, really very keen, and I also asked JPI Climate again, or at least the French participants in JPI Climate, to reconsider. But also, if you can come up with a good partner, we would be very, very pleased, because we have very lovely colleagues in the collaborative programs, even around here, that actually participate. So it would be really nice to have them on the board as well. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So I think I'm just going to stop this presentation. We can have the regular screen in the back, conference screen. Perfect. So as I already announced, the first of two keynote speeches will be given by Chantal Gasquiel. She's the research director of the National Institute for Agronomy, INRA, could be a very good candidate for an ECRA member, I think. Why not? Why not? She holds several degrees, specializes in engineering as an engineer agronomist, and did her habilitation in Rennes. What I found remarkable in her overall very impressive CV is that she received the insignia of Chevalier in the Order of the Legion of Honor Award by the Academy of Sciences 2015. That sounds like a very prestigious award, and I think you very well deserve it. So please, Chantal, come to the floor and tell us about water challenges for rural areas.
Thank you so much for your very kind words, and thank you also, Isabel, for inviting me for this introduction. So, because I am from INRA, I will focus my talk on rural areas, because agriculture is very important. Agriculture and water nexus is very important. And we have to consider blue water and green water. And between the two, there is the link, because this is the recharge and the irrigation. Blue water is the water we see. This is the water which is important for drinking. This is important for aquatic ecosystem. And on the other side, there is green water. And generally, we have only a look at green water, at blue water. And green water is also very important for soil, for activity, biological activity in soil, for ecosystem, agroecosystem and forestry, and so for food production. And linking the two is very important. And when we have a look to the distribution between green and blue, we see that green represents 61% of the precipitation, and so this is a very key resource for our planet, but also for food. You have the distribution between what is consuming by landscape, natural, semi-natural ecosystem, also by rain-fed agriculture and irrigated agriculture. So this is agriculture, but this is all our ecosystem. So when we see at the planet level, you have the distribution of the withdrawal of water withdrawal regarding the different activity, and you see that the green part of the circle that represents the withdrawal for agriculture is different from part to part of the planet, but this is a generally dominant part of the circle, and so that proves the interest of having a specific view on agriculture regarding the water cycle. And because of the very nice activity of the climate scientific community, we have now a prediction on many parameters. On here you have a picture of the effect of climate change on drought to very close future and long future, and this is the fact we have now. And the question is more and more on the variability of the effect of variability of the climate on the different parameters. We can have, because of this projection, the effect on climate, on discharge, on wetlands, on water temperature, on water quality. And so we have many information now. So what are the challenge regarding that results and the green and blue water? For the green water, the challenge is less water consumption, more water efficiency in agricultural activity. And this is a challenge at different level. This is a challenge at plant and trees, species phenotyping is very important activity. This is also on system. The cropping system have to change. The crop succession, but also crop association, agricultural practices, irrigation, but also fertilization, but because their impact on the plant growth, but also the landscape design of agricultural activities, the crop distribution regarding the water content in the soils. So sharing water between different use is very important to adapt the agriculture to the right level. And to reply to that challenge, we have to consider technology, local sensor, remote sensing. Remote sensing is very important. We have now data each day with Sentinel and so on. Irrigation technique on the soil and under the soil, small tank on the landscape. And we have now project on numerical agriculture. This is the water at the right moment, at the right location, at the right time. A second response is agroecology. Agroecology, this is clearly a nature-based solution, which includes more biodiversity. And the objective is to have the agriculture system more resilient to the variability of the climate. And so this is very important because variability of climate is very challenging for agriculture. And the last one is modeling and simulating, coupling crop model with groundwater model with flux in the stream. This is also the third challenge in terms of methodology. So just an example, this is an example in the south of France, in the Crow territory, but we have such example on small territory in Indra, which are in Crow, but also in South India. We collect the climate scenario, the soil distribution, the agricultural activities, and we simulate the groundwater recharge and the groundwater level. So this activity is maybe not so easy because collecting the data is challenging. Agricultural activities, the data is not so easy. For the soil, the definition of the resolution is not also so, is a difficulty. So, and then we can have some scenario which are of climate change, land use change, water demand to evaluate the area where we have risk and what adaptation can be implemented with actors. In our institution, we have pushed some years ago the meta-program ACAF. This is an interdisciplinary program, and the objective is to have the climate, the impact, the adaptation regarding socio-economic dimension, and the mitigation. And so this is very important, and one of the challenges is to push this interdisciplinarity. And we also push the idea that adaptation is clearly with three steps. The first step is an incremental change, and the society can go to this incremental adaptation maybe without research, because we have the faculty to adapt by ourselves. The second one is systemic. This is new crop, new system, diversification, and so on. And so research is very attended on this topic. And the last one is very transformative way. And so anticipate migration, new production, and so on. And so we have to think, which adaptation I want to push? Is it incremental, is it systemic, or is it transformative? The second challenge is to preserve our aquatic ecosystem, which is more vulnerable in higher variable climatic conditions. So I would like to stress the idea that we have to push the close relationship between soil, climate, and water. Soil also is very important, soil erosion, soil carbon storage, and so on. This is very important to have that inside. Discharge on the wetlands, obviously, but also all the way to control the crop developments. I would like to stress also a challenge on eutrophication. To prevent such risk, we have to develop method on impact and risk assessment, trade-off between different water use and their consequences, and also the economic dimension, such insurance. And here, this is a picture of a paper in Nature, and we see that in soil, the ratio between nitrogen, carbon, and phosphorus are changed very slowly, but differently. And so in our water, we will have different composition of nitrogen, phosphorus, and carbon insoluble also on water. We have recently a paper with some colleagues from Sweden and from Norway, and we compare the concentration in a very stream, very little stream, the concentration in these three elements. And we see that the North Oscillation have an effect, and that effect is very different from the catchment, so from the latitude of the catchment. And so we have to see this trend on a long term, but also the variation on a short term, in intra-annual, inter-annual variations. And recently, I've been involved in a scientific collective expertise on eutrophication. And we push the idea that the complexity of eutrophication, because this is a question of temperature, this is a question of nutrient, of dilution, which is more or less analyzed by the scientists, but the complexity of the trophic chain inside the water is very difficult. And so, to have a look for the ratio between fish, phytoplankton, zooplankton, and so on, maybe the best way to do that is to have retrospective and synthetic analysis, because our model cannot analyze such effect. So, blue water, green water, and transversal challenges too, and sharing scientific knowledge, but also considering the societal knowledge, because we cannot push some scenario without this societal knowledge. We have uncertainty on climate change, but we have also some certainties, and we have to push these certainties, because these certainties have to be known and now. And transversal challenges is to push the climate services, and in the climate services, this is projection on a long term, but this is also on a short term. When we discuss with actors, generally they told us that long term is very difficult, and we have also to consider the short term, seasonal variation, interannual variation, and this is very important, because maybe in the next picture, we can have a projection for few months, few next months. And so considering the short term is also important in adaptation. So integrated approaches is very important. And we have more and more in the literature some papers considering agriculture, environment, and energy, and that consider also the economic dimension with different projections. And we see that on some projections, we can have some positive effect on one issue and negative on other issue. And comparing these different effects is also something we have more and more needed. And as my last slide, this is my talk is more focused on rural objective, but also on research. And we have to fill the gap between research and innovation. And innovation is a challenge, a very interesting challenge for scientists. This is water management, such as purification, desalination. We discussed about that this afternoon, but also water reuse. This is technology for agriculture to detect exactly the state of our soil, our water. This is the information of communication also, and decision support also. So we have the opportunity with climate change to do very new science and new things in the field also of innovation. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Chantal. Is there any urgent question? Chantal will be on the panel, so you might want to ask your question also later. So thank you very much.
The second keynote will be given by Eric Martin. He comes to us from IRSTEA, another wonderful candidate for an ECRA member. Eric is the chief engineer in the Rural Engineering, Water and Forest Administration, and in 2015, he became the director of the IRSTEA Aix-en-Provence Regional Center. He has been a main contributor to the fourth and the fifth assessment report of the IPCC. And since his work is targeted on climate change impacts on the hydrology of large French catchments, it's no wonder that he's going to talk about challenges in the quantification and management of future water resources.
Thank you very much for the introduction and for the invitation. I will begin my talk with a slide from the IPCC. It's a change in the mean stream flow for a plus 2 degree scenario, and you see that even for a plus 2 degree scenario, there are many changes around the world. If we look at the Europe, you see what we already seen this day with a high decrease in the south of Europe and other contrasted change in the other part. So we need to adapt clearly. And when you look at the river basin is not like in the picture and on the left on the screen. It's not water and a beautiful landscape. It's a complex system with hydrology. You have rivers, you have aquifer, you have also a dynamic of the basin, and you have many users. You have the agriculture, of course, with practice, which impact on the budget. You have industry, hydropower. You also have drinking water. You have more and more concern on environmental protection, and you have also organization who try to plan, try to manage a crisis when you have some problem. So it's not simple. The system is really not simple. I take an example from the Garonne River Basin. You have crops about 57% of the surface. You have irrigation. The surface of irrigation doubled between the 17 and the 19. You have 13,000 farms with a lot of irrigation. We have maize. You have also many dams, very small farm dams, 15,000. And you also have hydropower, industry, and drinking water also. So the question is how to manage this basin and the other basin, because the other basin are also complicated. So there are some challenges, and I will explain my view on the challenge. Of course, there are climate trends. We have management option. And also, we have to understand the basin to understand the, its vulnerability, and we also have to learn lessons from the past to advance in the future. This slide is a slide from Explore 2070 project. It's a French project with some part of this project was quite successful because the series, hydrological series on this station were used by many organizations to plan adaptation. And you see that when you go into the very fine scale, you see a very different impact for the mean discharge and even for extreme. For instance, you see that the largest change in the lower flow is predicted in the northeast part of France. Though there are variations everywhere. So there is a need to this. The problem of this project is that it is quite old, and it needs to be continued with a new scenario to be really in phase with the climate science. This is important for me. Now, if you go to management, there are with models we can simulate easily some management option of the model. I present an example from an European project, ClimAware, and the SEN was a case study of the project. And the question was how to deal with the four reservoirs at the hub before Paris, that are used to limit flooding and to sustain low flows in the current situation. So we all know that today they are full, but we will see later this summer what will happen. You have on the left the situation without reservoir, the current and the future. You see that logically you go down, you lower the summer flood. If you go on the figure on the right, you sustain the flow. You sustain the flow in the current climate, and you have more difficulties to sustain the flow in the future. And the project tried to manage the rules of the managing of the reservoir, which was quite simple. You have to stock the water in the in the winter, and then after you release the water. And the conclusion was the reservoir management can change. There are some room for improvement, but it's not possible to return to the current situation. So you have to adapt. You have to change something in the system. If we go, if we increase the complexity of the system, we have to introduce a real coupling between the social and the ecological process. One example is in the agriculture in the Garonne basin. So I come back to the Garonne, and of course you have hydrology, you have crops. You have farmer with some objective, you have dam manager with other objective like hydroelectricity, and you have the authorities who have to manage all this system. So there are some solutions to model that. It's for example, there is a multi-agent model is an option where you can simulate the human activity and the reaction of each agent in the model, farmer, manager, who can adapt the solution inside the model with his own criteria. The criteria is the profit, the workload, because if you don't want to change your way to work if it's too complicated. And this model, this type of approach can be used to test some scenarios. For example, It was used in the garden and to test if it was possible in the current climate to limit the difficulties with water shortage if we change the culture from the crop from maize to a rotation between wheat and maize. And the answer was yes, it's possible, but if all the basin go to this type of rotation, which is a huge change. Another solution besides models and simple models and models including people is to organize and formalize the participative approach to build adaptation scenario. We saw some example today. This is very important. Very important target we have to go into because we really need to organize the discussion, organize how to go to a decision. The decision will not be a consensus, so there will be some people happy, some people will fight against. We have to organize the processes. We have some tools, many tools, simulation. We saw serious game. We need to build plans, and we need to evaluate, and we need to correct. It's a long process to adaptation. It's really important to have this human dimension. Another challenge is to look at the past. Now with reanalysis, we are able to reconstruct the history of hydrology over 150 years, almost. So it's now possible to compare. For instance, in this figure, we compare the duration and the severity of the two droughts, the 1976 drought and the 1876 drought. So it's far away, but there are droughts even at the beginning of the 20th century. It's important to have objective data to compare one event to what happened in the past with different use of the resource. Another approach is the vulnerability approach, because for one change. Each basin will not react on the same way. For instance, here you have two sensitivity tests. It's a sensitivity of the extreme stream flow flooding of two basins based on variation of precipitation and temperature. And for you have on the right, for instance, the durance and the flood. The flood are not so sensitive to precipitation, are very sensitive to precipitation changes. And you have another basin at the foothill of the Jura, and you see that the slope of the blue curve of no change is quite flat. It means that the flooding is less sensitive to the precipitation change. Now, this is an information to take into account in the decision process. So let's have a summary. The first idea is to develop the knowledge of the socio ecosystem of the basin. to build a proper adaptation. This means that we have to know the actors, the governance, the history, and the vulnerability of the basin. The second point is to produce the right scenario, the right hydrologic scenario at the fine scale. For instance, Explore 2070 was a first step, but we need to go to the very small rivers, because otherwise the people inside the basin will have to do that. So it's better to go with model to this scale. And the last point is to develop framework formation to support the stakeholder, mainly on the side of the methodology and the steps going to organizing the process to the implementation, the evaluation, and then the loop must go go on the other round. And finally, I didn't talk about uncertainty, but uncertainty in all the process is very important. And also what is very important is to communicate on what is certain, because scientists, they usually look at what is uncertain to go further. But it's very important in the case of climate change to say that, yes, there are some things that are certain. And this is an important also communication issue. So thank you very much for your attention.